Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we've got two questions that present tricky management challenges. The first question describes a situation where a person who is promoted within his department gets pushback from his peers.
Very common.
Very common, but it never feels good. The second question asks what a manager should do when one of her supervisees gets bad feedback from a client. Not good.
Those do sound like tricky situations.
Yeah, so let's just get to it. Logan, what's question number one?
I work at an airline customer service center, and I recently got promoted to a supervisory role. I'm now overseeing the work of four people who used to be my peers. One of them came up to me the other day and demanded to know why I got promoted, and she didn't. She said that she and two other customer service reps have been there longer. She believes that she deserves to be promoted first. I know for a fact that her attitude is a problem for our boss. The other two people she mentioned are often absent and don't put out a great work product. How do I handle this tough group of former coworkers? I fear that they're going to do anything they can to prevent me from doing my job.
I think that's an accurate fear, don't you, Kathy?
Yeah, I think it's very accurate. I mean, either the bigger boss who promoted this person needs to come in and say, look, this is why I made this decision, and I'm sticking by it.
Yes.
I think that they need to get some support in that.
Yes.
And backing, because sometimes decisions are made, and if they're being challenged, that it's got to be straightened out.
Yes, I mean, this sounds like the classic, a classic situation in that the person who got promoted probably has an excellent work product, right? And has probably been an informal leader for a while, and yet his or her coworkers are used to doing what they want, is what it looks like.
Well, I also think that this person has probably more intel than anyone else, and that may make them really uncomfortable.
Ooh, that's such a good point.
Because it's been a peer.
Right.
So, you know, you do tend to tell your peers more than you should because they're not your bosses.
Yeah.
And then when one of them becomes your boss, you know, it's uncomfortable. So that could be going on also that they... You know, they don't want to report to somebody who knows things.
Well, and also they may think that they have the goods on this new person, this promoted person, right?
Well, that could be.
Yeah, they may say, well, you don't always do everything perfectly, or I remember the time you were complaining about X, Y, and Z. Or maybe they did used to complain together about management, and
that
now
could be.
Suddenly they're in a management role.
I just think you have to weather this storm always. I mean, I do think upper management should make it clear why the person was promoted. But regardless, there's always that period. Whenever a peer is promoted, it's, you know, everyone could sound like they're excited for a minute.
Right.
But then after that, it's uncomfortable. It just
you're
is.
Lying.
Well, it's basically probably everyone else is thinking, who does that person think that he or she is?
And why that person?
Why them and not
why
me?
Why them and not me, right. So there's all kinds of things going on. You know, people are bitter, they're disappointed, there's all kinds of emotions going on. To those of you who think there's no emotions in the workplace, hopefully we've disproved that. This is a time when a lot of emotions fly.
Yeah,
and it's,
also...
it's adjustment.
It is an adjustment period. I was actually just thinking, Kathy, because I remember a very specific situation, a medical program that we worked in, and one of the people who worked with the patients was promoted to supervisory level. And it was very uncomfortable for her because she felt as if she was kind of betraying her colleagues when she had to hold them to task or hold them accountable or even tell them they were doing something wrong.
Right.
Very uncomfortable.
Well, it definitely is not a level playing field anymore.
Right.
And you... you know, you this so this person is definitely being put into the situation to hold people accountable,
right,
when that was not the case. So, and that is a big transition.
And those peers are going to test the bejesus out of you.
They are. They're going. It's almost harder to be promoted from within. I mean, when you're, you know, managing your peers, than it is to come in fresh from the outside,
right?
With no history, that's much easier.
Yeah.
So this is not an easy thing to do, but you know, the person is being paid and has the title and has the responsibility to make that clear to people and say, I'm going to be fair. And I think they have to show quickly that they're fair.
Show that they're fair.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And also probably live with the sense that for those who may take it personally, those former peers, that you may not be liked by a few people in your new role.
Right. That's right. Well, I mean, it's probably not true. You just have to go through this period of not being liked. But then once you prove that you're fair, if you do that, you probably can go back to having some sort of a friendship. But it'll never go back to what it was.
No. So loss is involved with gain. You've
gained
a promotion.
That's what it is. There's loss.
Yeah. I think that's very true, and something that it's hard to grasp, because at the time, probably when the job is offered to you, the theoretical idea of being promoted seems very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then yet you're all alone at lunchtime or something like that, right?
Well, you're definitely not hearing the same. It is sad. You're not getting the same gossip or intel, whatever you want to call it, that you were before.
That's right.
Although, you know, at this point, this person is probably pretty clued in.
Right.
Well, and they're probably pretty sick of the intel anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. It's like if you're ambitious and you want this role, that really won't much matter anyway.
Right. Well, Kathy often says, and I think it's very true, that you have to go from being liked to being respected.
Right.
And from earning that, instead of earning approval, you earn respect and you give the same in return.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why, you know, for those of you that think, you know, you make your good friends, your first job, second job, this could happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then those friendships will be tested.
Right.
Well, and we met with some very recently who said that he realized he needed to go from being friends to just being friendly, to being courteous.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so it goes.
And that's definitely the way it is. And sometimes you have to learn the hard way that you don't want to be that friendly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At work.
Well, and you have to find other confidants, don't you?
Yeah. Yes.
I think you do.
You mean outside of the workplace?
Outside of the workplace. Yes, definitely outside of the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been confiding until recently in your coworkers, that's not going to fly, obviously. And
right.
so
mm-hmm.
you have, but everyone needs a place to process. I mean, very often that's why you're hired to be an executive coach, is someone needs to talk through the experience of promotion.
Mm-hmm.
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 So you need to find those outside influences.
Right. And also there's so many books available on the topic of management.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would start doing that, or maybe taking a management class or something online, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, just start to familiarize yourself with this phenomena.
Okay. Right. So what we're saying is this is a tough group and this is a tough transition, and that you probably will be tested by them,
mm-hmm.
and they probably will do everything they can to prevent you from doing your job initially.
It's true.
So the other piece is that you need to come up with clear goals for everyone, clear policies, right? This is where business tools become very handy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, don't get personal, just be professional.
Yeah.
Right.
And then make plans outside of work.
Right.
With other people.
Get back to your old friends.
Get back to your old friends so that you have a network of support that's not your former coworkers.
Yeah, don't hang around waiting to have a drink with them. That's not a good
no
thing.
No more happy hour.
Now it's sad hour. No, and now it's outside of work hour, right?
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a quick commercial break and come back with question number two.
If you like this podcast, you might want Kathy and Catherine to come into your company.
Yes, we can come into your company, give a lecture as a lunch and learn.
Or we can be your next keynote speakers at your conference.
Or we can give a webinar, teleconference, or a live interactive workshop.
Choose from a large number of topics such as dealing with difficult people at work, managing up, the business of setting boundaries, and numerous others. Check out our website for more.
Or just give us a call or send an email. All of our contact information is on our website, ksquaredenterprises.com. All right, welcome back, everyone. Logan, what's question number two?
I work for a communications firm, and I manage a small number of staff. I just heard from one of our biggest clients that one of my employees, who writes their web copy, has been very difficult to work with. He apparently addresses a client in a very condescending tone, and he acts as if they are stupid when the client asks questions or takes issue with something he's written. I know for a fact that this employee thinks that his work and his client relationships are impeccable. How do I tell him that the client isn't happy with his behavior?
Well, yeah. First you have a martini.
Then you put on a suit of armor.
Something to relax. This is a really tough conversation, but it's the kind that, you know, a lot of managers have to do. I mean, to me, this is completely unacceptable if you get a complaint. This is something that really has to be addressed. So I would cool down, right? Unhook before you have this conversation. Like, you really don't want to come from an emotional place. There'll be emotion in it, but you don't want to take it out on this person because they're not going to hear you.
Right. So what do we say? What do we mean about cooling down? How are the different ways that someone can cool down?
Well, you know, for me, I'd have to go run on the treadmill for a half an hour before I could get to a place where I could see the bigger picture. Like, okay, I have to say, you know, I just had a conversation. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what happened, rather than, I can't believe what I just heard.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. So whatever that is for you, some people it's fitness, some people it's
yoga, walking.
Those are the healthy.
Meditation.
We'll bring up the unhealthy. The unhealthy would be you would pop something, pop a pill, or you would
snort something.
Right, exactly. Or you would drink it, or you would smoke something. And you could do all those too, but you still have to, unhook. So the healthy ways.
Cooling the system down in some way so that you're thinking in a cooler, calmer way when you talk to them.
Right. So that you're seeing it from the bigger picture, not from just the emotional side of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. And then you have to tell this person. You have to say, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to hear me out. I don't want you to jump in and give me excuses. I really need you to hear me out.
Uh-huh.
This is what I need to tell you, and we need to come up with a plan. Of how we're going to, get beyond this, what the next steps are going to be.
That's good. That seems very simple.
No, it's not. Maybe I said it too simply.
And then they stand up and they throw the chair across the room.
Well, I think you probably do need to decide what your greatest fear is in talking to this person, right? What you're afraid their reaction may be.
Or what's your goal? I mean, maybe you want to get rid of this person also because this may be the last straw.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I get that this is a problem. This is an ongoing problem, but I don't know how bad it is.
I think the thing that's interesting is that this individual believes that his behavior is impeccable. Mm-hmm. And so part of what you're doing is bringing new information into their world and seeing whether they can take it in or not and respond to it in a constructive manner, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. But even if they can't take it in, this is very much an important conversation because it has to be documented.
Yes.
That you've said it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they know and they care and they want to take actions, it's not the everybody makes mistakes. But yeah. If they can't take this in and they say it's lies, it didn't happen, you got another problem.
You do. Yeah. Denial.
Yeah, and this is not somebody who probably should be in this position.
Certainly not in client contact, right?
Right.
So do you say going in, I need to have a tough conversation with you? I mean, do you preface it that way?
I've sometimes done that, say this is an uncomfortable conversation, so I need you to hear me out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can do that. But I think the less uncomfortable you are, the more they're just going to hear it as, okay, this person isn't just pissed at me. This is just what is being addressed.
All right.
And I'm going to agree or disagree.
So then I'm going to jump in here and say that for some people, this would be terrifying to have this conversation, to be the manager. And so what you may need is to literally write out your script beforehand and rehearse it with someone if that helps you. Because if you are someone who knows, you know, you think that you're always positive and you're always encouraging and you just want to develop your staff and you have to deliver this and you need to deliver it, as you're saying, in a sort of calm, relaxed as you can be, clear manner, I think you need to rehearse it. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think you should always rehearse difficult conversations. And definitely writing it down would help. It'd help you get clear, and it would have, you'd have notes in front of you, which you should have anyway. So that is a really good idea. And I just wonder if you also, I mean, it's not a firing where you need to have another party in the room.
Right.
But sometimes it's not a bad idea if there is somebody else involved, to have somebody else in the room. But regardless, you're going to have to document this meeting.
Right.
So you got to write it down anyway.
And then are you going to, you're probably going to send that individual back to the client to make amends in some way.
I would hope so. I think that that would be the plan. Step one of a plan of redemption.
Like
what does that begin with? It begins acknowledging it to the client that, you know, you've heard and you're working and you're sorry and you're going to work on this.
One of the things that I think,
this person might quit.
They may.
Right, they might.
Which would be a good thing.
Rejection is protection. Yeah, you know, I think what's interesting is that the big thing will be how they receive the feedback, right? And how the employee does. And also that then the employee needs to probably circle back, or you do, to get very concrete examples. Because if this person is unaware of the many ways in which he's offending people, he's going to need specifics to change, you know, like the way when they ask you questions, you address them in a condescending
tone. So you really think this is the first time this person's going to be hearing this?
Hopefully.
Sounds like it.
Likely. I mean, not that
they
haven't heard.
You don't think somebody else hasn't said this to them?
Oh, well, we experience all the time where people tell us they've heard this before.
That's
probably from, in this person's case, from, you know, their girlfriend or wife or siblings or whomever.
How about your high school teacher, one of your professors? I mean, this person has heard this before.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I want everyone to understand, is that you're not the first person to say it.
And you won't be the last.
So, and if they act, because I've had people act as if they, it is the first time they're hearing it, and I say it repeatedly. So no one else has ever told you this. No one, I say it over and over again. And then later it sometimes comes out, well, somebody said something similar. And then they say it, and I'm like, that's not similar. They said, they have actually said it to you. So it's hard to believe that they have never heard that before.
Well, hearing the feedback is different from knowing how to change the behavior.
Well, that's different. Right.
That's what I'm talking about. That it, the more concrete you get.
Not everybody hears it. Not everybody remembers that they have had that feedback.
Right, exactly. So if you say, okay, have you ever, has someone ever said to you that you're addressing them in a condescending tone? Do you remember what you said and how you said it? I mean, you have to really not, you don't have to, but I find that individuals like this need very specific coaching.
Well, the coaching, I don't know that the manager
can do that.
Right. So they either have to send them
to a coach.
Right. To a coach or to a therapist or HR somewhere where they can get coaching. Because not every manager is equipped with those skills.
Right.
I mean, how much do you handhold somebody professionally? I mean, to give them the feedback to say, look, this is what people are saying about you, and I can't have this. So I need you to tell me how you're gonna grow here, what you're gonna do. Does that include, I mean, you may have to get, look, they said this, and you tell me, you know, how do you remember it coming down? And can you tell me how you said it? Or if you can be in meetings and see them do it again and say, that's it. That's what, I mean, there's so much you can do.
If they're a very valuable employee, I guess you could offer them coaching potentially.
Right.
From someone else, obviously not you, but.
Well, somebody who, that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
Like us.
Yeah, like us.
Send them to us.
Yeah, just send them to us. We love when people tell us they have no problems, but their boss has a 3-page write-up of their problems.
Well, that's the thing that I find. I mean, it's sad, actually, that people are not aware of their behavior, even if they've been told many times.
Right.
Not necessarily aware. And you also have to find out if an individual is willing to address their behavior and improve it, right?
Right.
So
it's, I mean, look, it's definitely tough to have to address behavior with people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you went into work thinking you were going to work, and right. then there you are having to give these kinds of conversations. But they're a real part of the real business world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not just doing your actual job, but the way you behave at work.
Yeah.
Is a big part of it.
I actually had a client who is a male boss who had a female direct assistant, and she just had a bad attitude. And he, and to me, I'm sharing this because it's so rare. He actually sat down with her and said, "Your tone when you say hello to me and to everyone else is negative." Mm-hmm. He gave very concrete examples of all the behaviors that he found unacceptable.
And what happened?
And then said, "Are you willing to work on this?" She was shocked. She cried, you know, mm-hmm. which of course is very uncomfortable, but she turned around.
Yeah. Well, she needed to hear it and knew that.
Yes.
Not at the second she heard it, but ultimately she knew that. Yeah. I mean, I've been given feedback too early in my career mm-hmm. about behavior, and it was always something that was good to know.
Yeah.
So people that don't want to know how to grow, what is that? What do you do with that?
Bye-bye.
I'm asking you, the shrinky there. What'd you say?
I said bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah, I think ultimately you do have to let them go unless there's something they have that the company's, you know, thinks it can't lose. But and often it's some, you know, if someone is not able to be self-reflective, it's because they are extremely narcissistic. Mm-hmm. So they can't see inside. There are those who are not able to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we all know one of those, right? Everybody's got one in their family. Everyone's run into somebody like that. That's no. tough. Oh, I hope that's not the situation here. I hope that this person can grow.
Yeah.
And you can even say that. I hope that you can grow from this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you unhook physically. Mm-hmm. You cool your system down. You write a script so that you're ready mm-hmm. to prepare. You stick to the facts. You make your points. And then ultimately you ask, are you willing to change?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you get support along the way because it's so uncomfortable to have these conversations.
Right. But they're important. It's what a manager is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when you avoid these, by the way, they don't go away. They just get worse. And, you know, if this manager does not handle it, then the manager is going to look bad.
Well, the client mm-hmm. will be very
right.
happy, right?
Right. So it has to get handled.
I mean, there's some beauty, I think, when it is a client complaint because it's
right.
not about, you know, coworkers complaining
right.
or something like that where
well,
you
someone
think
else
they just
is,
have a grudge.
It's not your opinion. It's someone else's opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to communicate that.
Yes. Even if it's a difficult client, if that's their experience, then we have to address it.
I mean, another thing it's important to say to this employee, I had your back
yeah.
when they told me this, just so you know. Mm-hmm. But I need to see a different side of you going
yeah.
forward. This cannot continue, but I had your back in that meeting. Because if the employee feels that you threw him under the bus, that's not good.
He's going to be arrogant and mean to you.
Nope.
I might throw you onto the bus one. And buses are not
then
good.
Then you're both under a bus at the same time. Who gets away with that?
You don't want to be under the bus with this person. I don't want to because
no.
I know this
no,
person.
We're talking to you in a condescending tone.
No, you don't need that.
Saying, I knew you'd throw us under the bus. It's so typical of you.
For those of you who don't live in New York, we know what buses are.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know what buses
yeah.
are. All right. Anyway.
All right, so that's it for this segment. Tweet us your stories and advice about managing difficult people and tricky situations to AskK2. Vote for us on Podcastland and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Please do not forget to send your questions or stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.